The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, June the 5th. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined for the first time this summer by Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Dan, how are you?
I'm not bad, mate. It's been a while. The 1st of May was the last time I recorded a show, so well over a month.
I know, it's been a while. You miss me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, since we stopped talking, Reading are on a 100% unbeaten win streak, averaging 3 goals a game.
Indeed.
So we should do this podcast less often if that's the sort of results they get.
Indeed. It took me a while to actually work out what match you were talking about then. It was so long ago.
Yeah, we talked just before the last game of the season. Obviously, Reading going up to Derby and winning it and literally raining on Derby's parade, denying them a place in the playoffs. Since then, we know who's going up. Sad to see Norwich go.
Yeah, I would say so. More because it means there's a trip to Borough next year and Norwich is a bit nearer.
Very true.
To Reading and Borough. But
we got 6 points off Norwich last year.
Yes, well, Norwich shouldn't be losing to a team like Reading, apparently, remember?
Oh, yeah, big time.
It's a wonderful Neil Adams said.
Indeed. Well, they will be playing Premier League football this next season. We also know the teams trips will be making again in the Championship next year. QPR, Burnley and Hull. QPR is always a decent enough away day, not the best stadium, but don't suppose you'll be particularly relishing a trip up to Hull or Burnley.
No, long ones, aren't they? I think still coming up from League One as well. Obviously, Preston hammering Swindon. Swindon was going to be a lot. I was actually looking forward to the possibility of playing Swindon. I know Reading fans. It was kind of split, actually, doing a thing on Twitter about it. Some people wanted them to win so they could have that match, and others wanted them to get hammered, and it was the latter that got their way. But yeah, so there's going to be a lot of miles next year, but it's always the way in the Championship.
Indeed, yeah. Preston going up alongside the MK Dons and Bristol City. So again, some good away trips. The first trip to Stadium MK and Ashton Gates was a decent trip away. So some good games to look forward to next season.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I mean, it's been a month now since that Derby game and already I'm just desperate for football to start again. Yeah. It's like you get towards the end of the season, you can't wait for it to finish and you think, yeah, I'm going to have a rest, it'll be nice. But within 2 weeks, you're like, I'll just start playing football again.
Indeed. Well, the fixtures will be out in 2 weeks' time and then give it about a month and it'll be pre-season games. So and we'll get on to that pre-season tour later. But we've got a few bits and pieces to discuss. Charles, I've got to be honest, I was hoping we'd be sitting down here and talking about signings left, right and centre. But not really been the case so far. What we have got is confirmed list of players that have gone. No real surprise on the retained list in terms of players they let go. Obviously, we knew Danny Guthrie was going to go and guessed a few of the other names as well. A lot of the younger players were let go. A surprising amount of keepers, actually, were out. Mikael Anderson, not offered a new contract at this time, but the club did announce that they were negotiating with 4 players, I believe. Alex Pearce, Jem Karachan, Adam Federici, and Stephen Kelly, surprised me a little bit. But were there any surprises, first of all, in that list, in the initial list?
No, I don't think so. I think that Stephen Kelly was offered a new deal was the one that probably caught a few people by surprise. Like you say, I wasn't expecting it. I thought he'd probably go. But then looking at it now, Clark always had a lot of time for Kelly. He always respected him. He played him in some games that you weren't expecting. Look at I think it was Bradford away in the quarterfinal. He left Gunter on the bench and played Kelly in that one. So he obviously thinks Kelly's a decent player, and he is a decent player, to be fair. He's full of experience. I mean, he's obviously getting on. He's not the player he used to be. But if he'd still be around next season, I don't think that'd be a bad thing. Honestly, I think he'll leave, to be honest, because it's European Championships next summer. He still wants to play for Ireland, and he doesn't sitting on the bench behind Chris Gunter all season is not going to help him do that. So I think he'll be heading out the door. But other than that, no real surprises. I think we all expected, like you say, Guthrie, Yak, Zat Knight, and people like that to go, and that was the case.
Yeah, indeed. And I said they are negotiating with the big three. Unfortunately, one of them has already gone. Adam Federici has signed a 3-year contract with Bournemouth. He'll compete with Arthur Boric for a spot down on the South Coast. Premier League football again for Feds. And it looks as if Alex Pearce is joining him out the door. He's in advanced negotiations, according to Finesells, with Derby County. So it looks like he'll be playing Championship football next season, but not at the Medeski Stadium. So that leaves just Jem Karachan. And Charles, any sign that Jem might be the one to commit?
I wouldn't say that. No. I honestly, again, sitting here right now, I would say that Jem will be off as well. I think they all will. I hope Jem stays. I hope they can come to some sort of agreement. But I just think there's been so much change. So many key people have left, key people in terms of Gem have left. He's seen a lot of friends leave, a lot of people behind the scenes that he's respected and known for years leave. I think the club is now a very different club to the one it used to be. And I just think Gem's going to think this is the time to go. If a decent offer comes in from somewhere else, I think he'll probably be off, to be honest. The others, yeah, Alex Pearce, I was expecting possibly today. It could have even been done now, but whispers I'm getting it may well be Monday, and it could be a sort of double unveiling at Derby with him and Darren Bent. So yeah, he's following Feds out the door, and Feds was a shame. But again, I don't think it was a massive surprise, was it? I think we all probably thought he was gonna be heading off.
Yeah, no real surprise. And again, even if Reading had offered him a pretty good deal, the lure of Premier League football at his age would have been a hard one to turn down. He's still got international aspirations, still wants to play at a World Cup. So I think he goes with best of regards. We had a couple of different opinion pieces up on thetarlhurstend.com. One person there, Jamie Butler, quite happy to see Fumble Ritchie go and a couple of others defending him. So a bit of a Marmite character in the end, but I used to think the majority are sad to see him go, and obviously he's wished well. But one of the precursors to Feds going, as you mentioned, was some of the off-field staff being released, notably Sal Bibbo. Now, this was one that really surprised me, Charles, because while you do expect to see a new manager bringing his own team, Sal had been someone that had been there for a long time and seemed fairly well respected.
Yeah, well, and he survived a lot of change of managers as well, hadn't he? Like you say, you expect them to bring in their own team, but Sal was a bit of a constant, and I suppose you look at the results that he produced, and that was probably the reason why it was a bit of a constant. One area that Reading never had any, seemed to have any trouble with was the quality of their goalkeepers. And Sal was a big part of that. He was highly respected and massively popular part of the club. But, you know, it's pretty ruthless by Steve Clarke. He's obviously got his own ideas about the way he wants things to go and the way he wants his coaching staff to go. And he's made that decision. And it was obviously Feds was obviously down the line in Bournemouth as well. But if there was any hope of him staying, I think the fact that he saw Sal go out the door so quickly and so unexpectedly, then it was no surprise to see the Bournemouth deal announced pretty smartly after that. He was a big part of Feds' life and will remain a big part of Feds' life. They're very tight. They're good friends. They're not just colleagues. And so, yeah, it didn't surprise me at all to see Feds go fairly quickly after that.
Yeah, a couple of the medical staff gone as well. I think that one was a bit less of a surprise given the recent injury concerns we've had at the club. Not that I'm saying they're directly responsible in any means, but I think given the horrendous injury list we've had over the past few years, I think a shake-up was perhaps warranted in that department. But one other name that could be out the door, certainly not likely, but is rumoured, is the club's director of football, Nick Hammond, who's been linked with a move to Premier League Crystal Palace, competing for a job as director of football, apparently, with
Stevie Cobb.
Yeah, a name some people might have heard of on this podcast, Sir Steve Coppell. How strong do you feel this one is, Charles? Is this a possibility?
Well, I think there's certainly interest, not just from Crystal Palace, but from a few clubs in Nick Hammond. But he's still very much part of the Reading furniture at the moment. He's still working very hard with Reading. He was a man who got the Michael Hector contract sorted and worked very hard on that. But you sort of look at Nick Hammond now and his role at the club, and there's been so much change, and there's so much change in the way that the club is run, and that is directly affecting Hammond and his role. I mean, there's plenty of advisors now advising the ties, and Hammond obviously used to be like pretty much the guy who decided all these things on signings and contracts and, you know, everything. He was the man, and now it's not quite the case. There's a lot of people advising the ties in terms of who we should sign and stuff like that. So it's no surprise now that I think a lot of clubs are beginning to test the waters in terms of Nick Hammond. I think they knew before he was very much entrenched in Reading. He's, you know, got huge respect for this club and didn't want to go. But now I think from afar, clubs are looking at his situation and thinking, oh, we might be able to get him here. And Nick Hammond gets an awful lot of grief. I've just done my web chat downstairs and I have plenty of questions about Nick Hammond, you know, saying, what does he do? Why is he still here? Why is Sal Bibbo getting sacked? Nick Hammond should be sacked. And I think he gets an awful lot of unfair grief, Nick Hammond. I think he's done an awful lot for this club. He's made an awful lot of money for this club, and he's massively respected, not by clubs in the Championship, by clubs in the Premier League. And I think that says an awful lot about what he does and how good he is at what he does.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me at all to see a lot of clubs now testing the water and thinking we might actually be able to get Nick out of this club. But whether he's going to do that, I don't believe he's had any talks with Crystal Palace. And obviously you've got the Alan Pardew link there, who he knows very well and gets on with. And so it wouldn't surprise me that that is that he might end up there. But I'm not certainly not saying he will, and that talks have taken place yet. But it doesn't surprise me that his name is being mentioned with a move.
Yeah, anybody that gets $3.5 million for Ibrahima Sonko, $6 million for Dave Kitson, and $5 million for Matt Mills is a good bloke in my book, and he's done some fantastic work for this football club. And again, I don't think people understand what he does. It's not him going out, identifying a player, signing him. He's the middleman. He gets the best value either for a player they're selling, or he's given a set of parameters with the board for a player that the manager's recommended. It's not, I'm sure he has his input, but sometimes I think he's just the man that gets the flak for it.
He is, barely. I don't think it's just him. I think an awful lot of directors of football around the country are sort of tarnished with that same brush, and they seem to be the people the person that everyone blames when things go wrong, when transfers don't go right and things like that. But I completely agree with you. I think Nick Hammond's done a fantastic job for this club, and hopefully he stays and can continue to sort of have the presence that he has at Medeiros Stadium, because I think he'll be a big miss if he leaves.
Absolutely. You only need to really look at the managers that have left the club and what they've said about him. You know, Steve Coppell was really open with his praise for him. But even the managers that got sacked, the Rodgers, McDermott, Adkins, not one of them has come out and said, oh, well, the director of football didn't help me out. None of them said anything. And I think that speaks volumes. I'm not saying that you expect those people to come out and blast someone, but something would have gotten out by now if there wasn't a particularly great relationship. So I think that tells you all you need to know, really.
And when you talk about these players come in, I mean, he got so much grief last year, Hammond, actually, last couple of years. He's had no money to do anything with. So I don't see how it's really his fault that people didn't arrive and they didn't go out and spend $5 million on Gary Hooper and stuff like that when it was all being linked. He's not had barely any money to play with. And so I think he gets an awful lot of unfair grief.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, one positive thing that Nick Hammond has helped do this summer is sign up Michael Hector to a long-term contract. That is, for me, an absolutely vital move. He was a man with only a year left on his deal, obviously attracting plenty of praise for his run in the second half of the season. How important was it for you, Charles, that Reading got Hector signed up quickly?
Hugely important. I mean, like you said, they couldn't afford to let him get into the final year. I think we've all seen what happens now when players get into the final years of the contract. It's not a good situation, especially someone as good as Michael Hector and as young as Michael Hector. And like you said, he's going to be attracting an awful lot of attention given his form, particularly since Steve Clarke's arrived at the club. And you know, the performance against Arsenal, you know, which was beamed across the world, I think everyone saw how good he was in that. And there'll be an awful lot of interest in Michael Hector. And Reading had to protect themselves in terms of that, just because he signed a 3-year deal. You've got to say, I certainly don't think he'll be here in 3 years' time, unless obviously Reading have a good season and get themselves right into the Premier League. But in terms of protecting themselves and ensuring there is still value in Michael Hector, then it had to be done, and they did it quickly. I spoke to Michael that they approached him, I think, halfway through April, and it's been done already. So it took 6 weeks. So I think that says a lot about when both sides really want to get a contract done, it can be done quickly. And they've certainly done that with Michael, and full praise to them for that.
Yeah, and he'll obviously be under the spotlight again. He's off to the Copa America with Jamaica and then the Gold Cup as well. So he's got a busy summer of international football ahead of him.
Indeed. I mean, there's not much to say. Just because he signed his contract, we can't exactly say with full confidence he's even going to be the next season.
Gilfie Sigurdsson signed one and was gone a couple of months later.
Exactly. He could go to Copa America, have an absolute blinder, and suddenly a £6-7 million bid comes in for him before the start of the season, and Reading aren't going to say no to that, the position they're in. So, like I said, it was just so important to protect themselves in terms of his value that they got this one done.
So Hector's signed up. What about other players coming in? Because, you know, we are into June now. I'm not sure if the window is officially open. I know players can
July the 1st.
Yeah, you can make pre-contract agreements with players, like we've seen with James Milner going to Liverpool and whatnot. So a few clubs have got business done.
Yeah.
Not really kicked off, but Reading have been quiet. A couple of rumours, starting in the goalkeeping department from just down the road. We mentioned them earlier in the show. I'm sorry we have to bring up their name again in this podcast, but Swindon, West Fotheringham, their goalkeeper, heavily linked with the club, but it seems that interest has cooled, Charles.
Yeah, I think we can not totally scratch that one off the list, but from what I understand, I think tension is now firmly switching elsewhere. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Fodder end up at Birmingham. He's on holiday at the moment. He's in Marbella looking at his Twitter. But once he returns, I wouldn't be surprised to see him possibly rock up at Birmingham at some point. So, yeah, attention seems to be turning elsewhere. I'm I don't have any names for you. I've got to say in terms of that, I don't know what who they're looking at in terms of goalkeepers, but you know, you'd hope they had a list of sort of three or four or five that they can look at. The only problem is there's an awful lot of Championship clubs looking for goalkeepers at the moment. Obviously, I mentioned Birmingham there. Forest are on the hunt for a goalkeeper. Bolton, it looks like Adam Bogdan's on his way to Liverpool. I think that they kind of need two goalkeepers at the moment. So,
well, the only one they've got left is Stuart Moore, whose highest league experience came with Basingstoke in the Conference South last season. He admittedly was their player of the year, but I don't think he's quite ready to step into the Championship just yet.
No, I don't think he's ready, but again, from what I believe, I'm not sure that they've totally ruled out the prospect of Stuart Moore being the number two next year.
Wow.
So we're all expecting two goalkeepers to come in. You would think that would probably still be the case. I mean, again, there's the whole Mikael Anderson thing floating in the background. It seems like that's certainly not been ruled out. But you kind of get the impression that if they're not offering him something now, then maybe that's not going to happen. But it certainly seems to have left him in a bit of limbo. But yeah, in terms of goalkeepers, I think they need to move pretty smartly because they're going to have an awful lot of competition.
Obviously, it's hard to know these things, but any indication why the Fodderingham interest cooled? Was it a case of terms not being able to agree? Was it just a case of he fancied Birmingham? Any indications?
No, I think Birmingham certainly have moved to the head of the queue, whether that's contract offer or what, I don't know, but I seem to get the impression that Birmingham certainly moves to the head of the queue.
Fair enough. Moving further forward down the pitch, one position. Obviously, we've mentioned Alex Pearce probably heading out the Medeski Stadium door. One player that could be arriving is another Irish international, Paul McShane, former Manchester United and Hull defender. Interest there from Reading. How likely is this one to get done?
Well, Clark was over to try and was to talk to him this week while he's over in Ireland preparing for the game against England this weekend. Reading's certainly very interested in him. Again, free transfer, 29 years old, full of experience, perfect sort of fit alongside Hector to sort of continue his development. So I wouldn't be against that signing at all, to be honest. But again, with someone like McShane, obviously he's been playing in the Premier League and he's free transfer, there's going to be a fair amount of interest in him. So I think Reading have acted quickly. They've gone over there to try and convince him that this could be the club for him. And I suppose we just got to hope that Steve Clark's words have convinced him, because yeah, there's going to be a bit of competition for that one as well.
Yeah, a player though, a bit of a warning flag with the amount of games he's played in the last few years. I think I read somewhere it's about just over 100 in the last six seasons.
Yeah.
Not a lot. And obviously, how can we forget Anton Ferdinand? He's still on the books. It's like signing a new player, Charles, if he comes back from injury.
Again, I just got a lot of questions about Anton in my web chat. And, you know, I haven't been down there since the Derby game. I haven't had any update in terms of injuries or anything like that since then. So it'll be interesting when we go back to pre-season just to find out exactly what the situation is with Anton. Is he any closer to getting any sort of fitness? Can he get to any sort of fitness? It'll be interesting to see how he's doing.
Yeah, well, you'd like to think surely there's some sort of clause, I don't know, in contracts where you can cancel if they're completely not fit. I suppose that they've signed the contract and they've got to honour it.
No, yeah, I'd imagine that they'd have to honour it. That's what contracts are about. It's about giving players security. And if the club are, I was going to say, stupid enough to give someone who hadn't played much for 2 years a two-year deal, then I suppose that you can't really blame the player for taking it and seeing that contract out.
No, do you know what? Anton Ferdinand could well be a surprise player for Reading next season, because admittedly, we saw him for 46 minutes, but I did think in that 45 minutes, admittedly against Rotherham at home, I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked okay.
Well,
but
he's got to be okay. I mean, he's played in the Premier League for an awful long time. He's not a bad player. He's definitely not a bad player. But by the time, if he does return this season, he would have played no football for 3 years, pretty much. So
yeah, true.
It's asking an awful lot for him to come in and make a real impact. But I agree with you in that 45 minutes against Rotherham. Admittedly, he didn't have much to do in that 45 minutes. I think we're kind of basing it on the fact that he looked quite comfortable on the ball and came out pretty well with it. But which is what he was renowned for, what the Ferdinand brothers are renowned for. But he did look quite good in that. And I think that's what everyone's sort of clinging on to with it. Just any sort of hope that somehow he can get himself fit and then he could be an asset for Reading next season. But realistically, honestly,
believe it when you see it.
Yeah, exactly that.
Any other rumoured inbound players? Obviously, we're losing quite a lot of players. Clark was very vocal about his need for two strikers. Haven't seen an awful lot of names floated around linked with the club so far.
No, well, the problem is they don't know what money they've got to spend, and it's very hard for them to start chasing potential targets. I'm sure they're talking to potential targets. They're talking to agents all the time to find out exactly what it will take to get these people to the club, but I know it sounds crazy talking about it in the first week of June, but they don't know what money they're going to get to spend yet. It's really difficult to get an answer from the ties. That the whole way that the club is structured now, there's so many advisors advising advisors, and before it even gets to the shareholders back in Thailand, it's just such a complicated situation to get everyone in one room and to get everyone agreed on something and agreed on a budget, and it's just not helping matters. And yes, the transfer window doesn't open for another 26 days or whatever it is, but you don't want to be falling behind in these things, and they need to get this sorted. And from what I'm told, there is going to be hopefully a meeting next week where things should become clearer about what exactly, if any, they are going to be able to spend this summer. Obviously, it's very telling at the moment that the players they're linked with are free transfers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they don't know what they can spend. And hopefully this time next week, they will know more.
Yeah, and I think some of the more optimistic fans were thinking, well, they've been limited by financial fair play. That's the only reason they haven't gone out and splashed the cash, because they were actually hard capped, whether they had 10 billion in the bank or 10p. They couldn't spend any more, because if they did, they would have gone over the limit and they would have suffered fines and transfer embargoes. So I suppose the lingering hope was that as soon as those restrictions eased, the money would start flowing, but it's not. No. And I think we very quickly realised that they're going to stick to what they said. This isn't going to be throwing the cash at the problem. This is going to be the Reading Way version 2.0 or version Thai.
Very much so. But I think also the FFP, this year it was going to ease this summer in terms of that they weren't going to be under as much pressure as they were last year, but they were still never going to have an awful lot to spend this summer. It was always, when we last spoke to Hammond about it, he was always talking about the following year was the one when everything was going to really change and the new rules come into play. So this year was always going to be one when the pressure was going to be slightly less, but they were still going to be restricted. Reading are not going to go out and splash millions this summer. No way. Whatever happens next week, whenever Steve Clark sits down and talks with the owners and Hammond sit down and talks to the owners and they know exactly what they can do, they're not going to have millions to spend. Just anyone even thinking that now can just scratch out the window. Money is going to be extremely tight and Steve Clark's going to have to work the transfer market very cleverly this summer. And that's certainly not to say that he can't do it and do it well and give Reading a decent opportunity of trying to push for the playoffs next season. The championship's crazy. It can happen. We've seen it before. Burnley, like you said before we actually started talking on air on this one, Ipswich last season barely spent a penny, but Mick McCarthy built a squad cleverly with a lot of free transfers, some decent loan signings, and Steve Clark has a lot of contacts. He will get some decent loan signings in, and he can build a team capable of challenging for the playoffs. So it's certainly not all doom and gloom just because nothing's happened yet in the transfer market. I'm not buying into that. It's not great. It's not an ideal situation to be in at the moment, but it's certainly not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I'm not doom and gloom, but I'm going to be honest. I'm getting fidgety.
Yeah, I think everyone's getting fidgety. Everyone wants to see things start happening, and it's not. Yeah, like I said, it's not ideal, but it's not all doom and gloom. Let's give it a couple of weeks. If I come back, I'm on holiday now. From today, I'm on holiday for 2 weeks. If I come back in a fortnight's time and we're in exactly the same situation, then I'll be getting fidgety as well.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Well, you go off for a couple of weeks on holiday, but when you come back, Charles, you've got a chance for another holiday because Reading are off to Thailand. So you've got a Thailand All-Stars team. any big names rumoured for the Thailand All-Stars? I'm sure you can rattle them off the top of your head.
No, Poklo and Nan, there you go, there's one.
I'll take your word for it.
He was over here. He was the guy who was over here training with Reading for a while, wasn't he, last year? So he was a Thai international, so that's the extent of my Thai knowledge.
Yeah, well, this seems like a bit of a strange tour because it's, from my understanding of what the club have announced, it's just one game.
Yeah, it's not even a tour, it's a trip.
Awful long way to go for one game.
Well, this is what I'm talking about in terms of the ties and the way they were hoping to have two games. They were always going to be a second game in Malaysia a couple of days after one in Bangkok, and that one's fallen through. So they couldn't even get that done and sorted in their own sort of territory. And it just seems like it's getting decisions made and getting firm plans put in place. It doesn't seem to be the way it works at the moment, and it just doesn't fill me with great confidence in terms of transfer strategy. But it was supposed to be two, but it's now been announced that it's just the one. So it's more of a pre-season trip to Bangkok rather than the pre-season tour of Thailand and Malaysia as it was first billed.
Well, the big question is, are you going to go with them? Are you going to go on tour?
I'm hopefully going to be going with them. I've been waiting just because it's impossible to book anything at the moment because we haven't had the dates and it's still not entirely sort of written in stone what their dates are. We know when they're leaving, we know when they're playing, but then there's a sort of trip to Koh Samui at the end and we don't know exactly when they're doing that. And so it's all up in the air, which isn't great considering it's less than 4 weeks away now from when they go. But the plan is that I am going, but it's not booked yet, so I can't say that 100%.
Yeah, we'll have to try and get you on the line from Thailand to give us an action report from there. But after that, it's a very similar looking pre-season to last year, as Reading once again play Swansea, I think for the third year in a row.
I know.
Although they're mixing up the venue now. Adams Park in Wickham. Any idea why that's happening there?
No, I'm guessing it's just because the pitch won't be ready at the Madstad. I was down there this week and Adam Grantham and his team have been working very hard. They've got the sheet on now and they're waiting for the grass to start growing before they start cutting it. But yeah, I'm guessing that they just won't be ready. They're trying to get it all ready for the first pre-season, for the week before, you know, the original where Reading always play the home game, the 1st of August, that's still in the plan. It hasn't been announced who they're playing yet, and I don't think anything's been set in stone, but they're still working towards a friendly on that date. And obviously the Swansea game this year is all about a week before that. And so I'm just guessing it was decided that they wanted to play them. Swansea couldn't do it at their place, but Wickham was available and it's just down the road. It's good for me. It's close to the mainland.
Oh, well, there you go. And games as well against Bristol Rovers and Crawley as well. And I think that's all so far. There might be another one that I've missed off, but not a massively inspiring pre-season, but hey, if it gets players in shape, that's what it's there for.
Yeah. No, I don't think, like I said, it's not a particularly spectacular one. Let's hope they can pull a decent home one out of the bag the week before the season starts.
Indeed. Well, and that just about wraps up. As I said, I'd like to have thought we would be talking about these exciting new signings, but unfortunately, as I said, we sit here a week into June and nothing. But leave you to go off on holiday, and hopefully, Charles, by the time you come back, it'll be a flurry of activity.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Just before I let you go as well, who would you like first day of the season when the fixtures are announced? What's your dream game?
Who I like first game of the season? I don't know, they're going to be at home first game of the season, aren't they? I think looking at it, and when the Reading Festival drops, I think looking at it, they are going to be at home. Who would I like? Someone who's going to bring a decent crowd. I said Cardiff yesterday on Twitter when I was talking to my colleague over at the Chronicle, mainly because Paul Carey, because he's a Cardiff fan. I was joking, saying it was nice, easy 3 points, but I wouldn't be totally adverse to that. Decent away following in the crowd as well to make a good atmosphere. So yeah, let's go with Cardiff.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't want one of the newly promoted sides because I don't think you want a team with momentum. I know you can't really talk about form and matching teams up, but you just don't want one of those teams coming. I said Boyd, Big Dave, someone like an MK Dons came here. I wouldn't fancy it. Someone like a Cardiff or someone like that, or a Bolton, someone that hadn't had a particularly great season last year would suit me just fine.
See Cardiff for after Daryl Murphy. That's it. Yeah. Decent signing for them if they got him over the line.
Any future in South Wales for Adam Lafondra? Any chance of a Medeski return?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, but he hasn't gone anywhere yet and it doesn't look like Bolton are going to be able to afford him. So he might have to start trying to work his way back into the plans there because hasn't been too much interest in him. I saw a vague link from MK Dons for him today.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere. But I don't think it's been ruled out that he could have a chance at Cardiff, but they're certainly trying to shift a lot of the big earners out the door there, and he's one of those big earners, so I think I'll have to wait and see with that one.
Yeah, I'd take him back in the Medeski in a heartbeat.
I'd take him back, definitely. I'd take him back. Someone asked that on the web chat, and I said, without doubt, Reading certainly wouldn't have had as bad a season last year if Lafondra was still there.
Absolutely not. Well, watch this space. We'll see what deals get done. Charles, as I said, have a fantastic holiday. Hopefully catch up within a couple of weeks' time. We'll try and get you just before you head off to Thailand for that mega tour.
Brilliant. All right, Dan, take it easy, mate.
Take it easy, Charles. Thanks again to Charles for joining us. And remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest from Get Reading and Charles at getreading.co.uk and follow Charles on Twitter at Charles_Watts. We're on Twitter at the Tilehurst End as well as thetilehurstend.com. And there is plenty of content for you to keep yourself occupied this summer. We've got our Six of the Best series, which sees Reading fans give us their six favourite memories, be it game, goal, player, manager, kit and away ground. We've also got an interview with recently released midfielder Ryan Edwards, so stay tuned for that, as well as plenty of post-season analysis if you missed it at the end of the campaign. We're not going anywhere, so keep us bookmarked and make sure you keep on looking at the website. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. That helps out a lot. Helps other Reading fans find us by boosting us up those charts. So if you've got 5 minutes to subscribe, leave us a rating, and even better, if you've got a couple of minutes to write us a comment. It doesn't have to be a long, epic essay, just a few words telling us what you think of the show. Positive, please. Although, you know, if you want to write something negative, your choice. you know, no mugs for you, but still, you can do so, and it really help us out a lot. The main edition of the podcast will return at some point this summer. I'll try and get Johnny, Westy and Handbags together to talk about some of the signings, if and when we make some, but we'll keep you fully up to date on the Twitter. That's at the Tarlhurst End. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening again, and we'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.